Exodus 21. Exodus 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and shall bring him to the door, or unto the door post. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Let the church say amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask for thy help and thy guidance as we preach this all-important message. I pray that as your vessel, you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, that in no way I hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that you will bind the forces of Satan, keep him from hindering the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that you'd bless if there's anyone in the building who is lost. Might that one come to a saving knowledge of the truth today before it's eternally too late. I'm glad that you are still saving sinners. And I pray, God, that you'd save them today. Help us, Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, that in no way I'd hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Use me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Nowadays, working a job for a long time has you looking forward to retirement. Would anybody say amen? The philosophy is put your time in now so you can enjoy your life later. Work hard now so you don't have to work later. I mean, who's not anticipating the day when you don't have to work for anybody? You don't have a time to arrive, and you don't have somebody telling you when you can leave. I hear people say all the time, 2 more years, 5 more years, 3 more years, 1 more year, 1 more month, and I'm done working. Some of you are already there. Say amen. Here in Exodus 21, the story is quite the contrary. We see a servant who doesn't have retirement in mind. The option is on the table. The chance for him to enjoy freedom is there. The law in the Bible made it very clear that the slave was obligated to serve 6 years, and in the seventh year, he could go out free. But to this man, that is referred to in Exodus 21, he had no preset limit. His tenure would never expire. He found him a spot where he needed to stay, with the right of freedom at his disposal, and doing his own thing in his grasp. He makes it very clear, this statement: I will not go out free. I could, to some, I should, but for me, I won't. I have decided to serve my master forever. You know, folks, it seems to me today that everyone's aspiration in the work of God is celebrity status. Everybody wants to be big. I meet young people all the time, and they're 15, 16, and they're in a Christian school, or they're 18, 19, and then they've been in the Bible college, and they're already dreaming about stardom and big meetings and pictures and signing Bibles and having everybody know their name. I'm saying everybody wants to be high on the hog. Everybody wants a position. Everyone wants to be recognized. Everybody's trying to climb the ladder of success. But I want to tell you, that may bode well in the secular world, but it doesn't work well in the kingdom of God. God is not looking for stars. God is not looking for celebrities. God is not looking for big time status people. I'll tell you what God is looking for. Somebody who's made up his mind he's a servant. Some men, women, boys and girls who said, I just want to serve. They've found a spot where they intend to stay. Not this forced Christianity that says, I have to do this or I have to do that, or they make me go here or they make me say this. I meet so many people who seem to think Christianity is about what I can't do and what I have to do and where I have to go. Maybe you're in church this morning, and I want to tell you, if you're in church this morning, you're in the right place. Somebody say amen. You're in the house of God. I wouldn't want to be in the casino this morning. I wouldn't be out on the golf, want to be out on the golf course this morning. I wouldn't want to be somewhere partying this morning. I'm glad that I woke up this morning and I came to a place where not long into the service, I could hear somebody say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And right after that, somebody could remind me that when I'm in trouble, I have a defender. They encouraged me to magnify the Lord with them. And then they challenged us not to lift up ourselves, but let the anthem of our God be raised to the one who overcame the grave, conquered death, and took my place. His name is Jesus. And then they reminded me that the glory through an instrumental music like a violin and a trumpet and a piano, but we knew those songs, and ringing in our ears while that beautiful music was being played was the song, let there not be any praise to me, but let the glory go to God. With his blood he has saved me. Amen. With his life he raised me. To God be the glory for the things he had done. And then culminating with the special, when I messed up, when I fail, when I falter, when I stumble, when I'm wrong, and I am all the time, the reins of my brains remind myself, you love me. You wouldn't have heard that on the beach this morning. You wouldn't have heard that on the course this morning. You wouldn't have heard that hungover in the bed this morning after drinking last night. You won't hear that in the club. You won't see that at halftime during the NBA playoffs. But by the grace of God, you walked into a good old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church where the Bible is being opened. And I just listened to music. I ain't even got to the preaching yet. But if you left church right now, you were better than how you came, being reminded about the goodness of God. I'm glad I came to church this morning. But maybe you come all the time because you feel forced. Maybe you read this here book. This book. I mean the truth in this book. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Forever thy word is settled in heaven and on earth. Amen. The scriptures give my inspiration of God. And it came not by private interpretation, but holy men of God as they were moved by the Spirit. You've heard me say all the time, you can't get two men to agree on anything, much less 40 over 1600 period of time. I mean, men were writing in one age about something that someone else wrote in another age, and somehow with hundreds of years between them, they agreed. You know why? Because they were being talked to by the same author. And you get to read this book. Maybe you read it every single day, but you feel like you're forced to. Maybe you get on your knees, but you feel like you're forced to. Maybe you dress a certain way, but you feel like you're forced to. Maybe you're in a ministry, but you feel like you're forced to. Maybe all those songs I just brought up, you were singing, but you really don't enjoy it. You feel like you gotta be there. You gotta go. You have to. Can I tell you, you may get a check mark for being in the building, but that's not what impresses God. God's looking for somebody that wants to be a servant, that wants to please his master, that wants to do right. And God's looking for somebody that says, oh yeah, Oh yeah, I'm grown. I've got freedom. I've got rights. I'm a citizen. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I don't have to sing in the choir. Nobody's going to make me do it. And I could choose freedom. But why want to be free when instead I could just be faithful and decide I'm going to serve God and live for God and honor God? And there are a whole bunch of people out there running around like chickens with their heads cut off, sniping to you and I, saying, "We're free, we're free, we're free, we're free." You know what that servant said? "I will not go out free." I wonder, well, there are some bond servants in the building today that'll say, instead of choosing to be free, I choose to be faithful. Now, very quickly, I'm not going to be long, but I'll give you three things, because I never read this passage without being challenged. What would make this servant say, "I will not go out free"? What all is involved in turning down freedom for faithfulness? Well, number one, I think what was involved was an incredible master. Amen. Why would a man in the seventh year say, "No, I'm not leaving"? Why would a man in his year of release say, "I'm not taking that offer"? Why would somebody who from the moment when he first became a slave was looking forward to not being a slave, why would he say, "I will not go out free"? I'll give you reason number one. You know what he said? "I have an incredible master." Would anybody agree with me today? We have an incredible master. Now I want you to see this man. What's so incredible about your master? Well, number one, he made an eager pursuit for me. Verse 21, these are the judgments. Verse 1 of chapter 21, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant. Now watch this now. The master would go out somewhere to where the slaves were, and he'd go looking for a servant. I'm glad today that when I was walking around on the slave market of sin and nobody wanted me, I'm glad when I couldn't find him that the master came looking for me. He went out on an eager pursuit, and then he made an expensive purchase. He bought me. He paid good money for that slave in Exodus 21. Watch it. "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Why will you not go out free? I'll tell you why. Because when nobody wanted me, he did. When nobody could afford me, he could. And he spent good money on me. He didn't kill a lamb. He didn't kill a sheep. He didn't kill a ram. He shed his blood for the forgiveness and the redemption of my soul. Why will you not go out free? I've got an incredible master who made an eager pursuit for me. Oh yeah, I've got an incredible master who made an expensive purchase on me. But I've got an incredible master who's given some extensive provisions for me. Notice what the Bible says. If the master hath given him. Notice what he said. If the master hath given him. I think if this servant could stand up and testify in the service today about his master, he'd say, number one, the master gave me adequate food. He made sure I ate every day. The master also gave me an abundant fortune. My house and everything I own, the servant would say, he gave to me. But he also gave me an amazing family. Listen what the story said. When that servant came, he came there alone, but somewhere along the line in those 6 years, the master said, "Here goes a wife for you." And then a few years later, here came some kids to him. So now, as he looked in his seventh year, as he looked at what he had, he started saying to himself, "When I got here, I had nothing. When I got here, I was nothing. But since I've been here, I got food, I got fortune, I got a family, and I got fulfillment. Why would I leave that master?" You remember the day when you were nothing? I won't tell you when God found you, you were nothing. We still ain't much now. Were it not for the grace of God, I won't tell you when God found you, you were nothing. When God met you, you were nothing. When God came looking for you, you were nothing. Come on now. Don't act like you've always been where you are today. Don't act like you always knew what they were singing about. Don't act like you even knew where Exodus was in the Bible. But aren't you glad when you didn't know God, God came looking for you? Aren't you glad when you weren't looking for God, God came pursuing you? And aren't you glad every day he gives you the food you need? Every day he gives you your daily bread. Aren't you glad he's given you good fortune, peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction? Aren't you glad he's given you a family? Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your kids. And he's given you fulfillment. No wonder he said, I'll not go out free. I got it good. The incredible master, number two. The intense motivation. Well, why will you not go out free? Why would you choose faithful over free? Well, I've got an incredible master. Number two, why can't you leave? Well, I've got an intense motivation. What is it, servant? Love. Somebody help me preach. Love. Love. What do you mean? I mean there's something in me that won't let me go. There's something in me that won't let me retire. There's something in me that won't let me quit. I'm talking about serving God. Listen to me. I'm not talking about your secular job. God only gave you that to serve God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about serving God. Listen to me. He said there's a genuine or there's an intense motivation in me. It's sincere. It's settled. It's stated. Notice to me. There was no shame in his game. He said nice and loud and clear, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. It was a sincere love. It was a settled love. It was a stated love. It was a sacrificial love. What do you mean? He said, I'll give up my preferences. I'll give up my pleasure. I'll give up other people. I'll give up my plans. I'll give up those possessions. Oh, sure. He must have thought, if I leave here, there's a lot of stuff I can do when I get out of here. I never could do when I was in here. There's a lot of places I can go that I never could go. All this time I've been working for my master. Once I'm free, I'm touring the world. I'm going to live high on the hog. I'm going to have it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. And then he thought about it. But wait a minute. Would I rather get that and forfeit this? Would I rather have my freedom to tour the world and lose my wife, lose my family, lose my kids, lose my fortune, lose my food? I'm telling you what. There are men today that would rather enjoy the freedom of lust and immorality than the joy of having a wife that you can worship the Lord with. There are children that would rather the freedom of doing what you want to do than the safety of living under the authority of your parents. There are Christians that would love the freedom of not being accountable to a local church so they can go out there and do what they want to do and lose their testimony. I don't want to give up my family for some foolish freedom. Why? Because I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I've never seen so many husbands want to be so free. Don't get quiet on me. By the way, we're living in a day and age where a bunch of wives do too. Amen. And the world will help you with it. Be telling you deserve it. You grown woman. You don't tell anybody to tell you what to do. You do what you want to do. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't you let secularism trump scripture. Amen. You go ahead and be free with your old bad self. Go ahead. I'm telling you what, there's nothing like serving up underneath the head of your house like your husband when he walks with God. Amen. Listen to me. There's nothing like knowing that you come home every night to a man that may not be perfect. Nobody is. That may not be flawless. Nobody is. But he's connected to a perfect, flawless Savior. And he's got a perfect Holy Ghost living inside of him. There's nothing like, oh, some of you thinking right now, oh, there's a lot of stuff in my marriage. If you knew about it, you'd know how miserable I am. Let's not talk about that this morning. Let's talk about the fact sitting next to you. Your spouse. Aren't you glad you're in church together? Aren't you glad your kids are in church with you? Aren't you glad that you're not somewhere in some nonsense or caught up in some club? Aren't you glad that at 12:23 p.m. in the month of May 2019, with all of your problems in your marriage, at least you're in a place that'll help you get through those problems? Celebrate the goodness of God instead of whining about all your problems. I'm finished. Last point. Incredible master. All right, don't go on forever. We had some good worship today. I shouldn't have to take that long to get your heart ready. Incredible master. An intense motivation, which led to an identifying mark. Okay, buddy. You ain't leaving? No. Oh. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the anxiety that must have been felt by that wife as he approached the seventh year? Will he leave us or stay? What would those children must have thought? Those 3, 4-year-old, at the most 5-year-old kid or kids must have thought, Daddy's free in the seventh year. Look, listen to the rule. You can only leave with what you came with. So if you came by yourself, you leave by yourself. And by the way, ain't nobody in here came to Jesus with nothing. Wonder what she must have thought. Will he stay? Will he stay? Can I tell you, sir, that your wife is asking the same question? It may not be, is he going to divorce me? Is he going to leave? Here's what she's saying. Is he going to be free or is he going to be faithful? Is he going to be free? And in this case, in the interpretation of Scripture, in the original context, we're dealing with a man and the rest of his family. But the truth of the matter is, all of us have to make this decision. If you're a wife, you got to make a decision. Will you be free or faithful? If you're a child, by the way, young people, you can grow up in a Christian home, in the home of a good master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get grown and get free. But not if you love him. Not if you love him. You're going to graduate from school, but that don't mean you graduate from God. Amen. You leaving the house, but that don't mean you have to leave your master. He can go right on down to school with you. You listen to me. You can leave mama and daddy. You can leave good old-fashioned home cooking. You can leave a washer and dryer in close proximity, but that shouldn't stop you from early in the morning in that old stinky dorm of getting up in the morning and saying, I may not have a washer. I may not have a dryer. I may not have a stove, and I may not have a mama cooking something on it, but I got a master. I can still serve. I can still love. You got to get up tomorrow and go to work. Down in that cesspool of society. Somebody said to me this morning, Pastor, thank you for your prayers. I'm going to need it working in D.C. this week. Can I tell you, there are some superiors that you work for tomorrow that are going to get right on your nerve. Look past them and look up to him, because better than your boss is your master. And when your boss is crazy, your master is wise. When your boss doesn't appreciate you, your master loves you. When your boss forgets you, your master remembers you. When your boss doesn't appreciate you, your master makes sure you're loved. I'm glad that I got a master that loves me. Oh, you're going to stay? Let me give you several things about this identifying mark. First of all, there's an owned prerogative. If he shall say, here's this owned prerogative. It's your choice, buddy. Hey, listen, look at me. Ain't nobody going to make you serve God. Hey, listen. Nobody's going to make you serve God. Nobody. We're trying to help you, but nobody can make you serve God. It's an own prerogative. For every certain, listen to me, the right for every, some of you think, I can't do nothing in this home. Yes, you can. You can live right just like the devil with the strictest parents. You sure can. It's an own prerogative. Listen, you're going to serve God, you're going to make a choice. You're going to serve God because what church you go to. You're going to serve God because what your last name is. Now, these things will help you, and they ought to influence you. But at the end of the day, whether or not you serve your master is an owned prerogative. Now, if he says, I love my wife, I love my master, I love my children, I will not go out free. Notice what the Bible says. With this own prerogative, he then must participate in an open publicity. Watch this now. They shall bring him, verse 6, unto the judges. In other words, in front of people, this man would be led, and he must, in front of people, let all of them know, listen, I know my master knows that I'm going to serve him, but the servants of my master must not only declare it to him, they must declare it to everybody else. That guy must go in front of the judges and let everybody else know I'm serving my master. That own prerogative would lead to an open publicity. And then, my friend, It would lead to some overwhelming pain. They would take an awl, a sharp instrument that was used to pierce things. They would take his ear and they would put it up on the post. And they would take that ear with the post there and take that awl and drill a hole in his ear. I want to tell you, that's pain, overwhelming pain. But notice what the result of that prerogative, publicity, and pain was. It would lead to an occupational permanence. Here's what the Bible says. Once his ear was bored through with an awl, verse 6, he shall serve him forever. Here's what this man must say. I've got an incredible master. If God's been good, say amen. I've got an intense motivation. He loves me and I love him. And that leads me to an identifying mark. Here's what this man says. My prerogative, I choose to serve God. My publicity, I want all y'all to know I serve God. My pain, I'm willing to go through some hurt to serve God. And my permanence, for the rest of my life, I'm going to serve God. Wow. I tell you what's missing. Some people who will get up in front of everybody else and say, I want y'all to know I'm his. I'm his. I want all y'all on my job to know I'm his. I want all of y'all on Facebook to know. Now I found out some of them will serve him here, but they won't serve him over there on Facebook. They'll serve the devil on Facebook and serve the master. No, he don't want them kind of servant. See? Look, watch this now. For the rest of his life, by choice, he would serve the master who bought him. And I wonder if when he'd go places, perhaps, in town, and the master sent him on a mission, go get this for me and bring it back. I wonder if everybody in town could just look at him and go, oh yeah, I know who he served. He got that hole in his ear. He's marked. He's marked. They could tell he was marked. Can they tell you are? Do you have a mark? I'm not talking about your bumper sticker or your tattoo. I'm not talking about your bracelet or your nice suit. I'm asking you, is your master so involved in your life that everywhere you go, people can see his mark on you? Just maybe. Maybe there'd be a servant who never did get a wife, but in the seventh year he still said, I'll serve my master. I wonder if maybe there might be another lady along the way that might go, oh yeah, I like you. I've been looking for me a man with that mark. Amen. I thank God that the first day I saw my wife, without even having a conversation with her, the way she stood behind a pulpit and sang about Jesus made it very clear to me, that girl's marked. And then the next place I preached, they showed up, never said anything. But I watched how she walked with her family with respect. I thought, she's marked. And it was several times after seeing her before I had any bit of a substantial conversation with her. I could tell by the content of her language, she was marked. She talked about songs. They were Christian songs. She talked about places she went. They were Christian places. What do you do with your time? Well, I mentor girls. I disciple girls. I take kids soul winning. I sing in the choir. I teach voice. We take in little orphans and help raise them. When do you watch TV? We don't have one that we get to watch everything on. She's marked. Wasn't for long before I figured out she got a hole in her ear like I got in mine. Why would I want to leave that? Why do I want to lose it? You want your freedom? Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Listen. Listen to my message. Go out of church and go ahead and live how you want to live. Do it. Some of you are going to do it anyway. And trust you me. I would never waste the time of all of the people in church who want to live for God by preaching a whole sermon at the few that don't. But don't think because I didn't take a whole sermon on you that I don't know how you live. But you can't, if you're doing it for me, it's not going to last anyway. You got to do it for Him. That's what my parents taught me. Serve God for God. I thought, when God saved my daddy at 30 years old, it wasn't long before He said, mark me. Mark me. Mama was already saved, but she didn't understand Christianity altogether. You're in, honey, I'm in. They mark us. And now we have a kid. Let's try to teach him to take the mark. And two more. One, then we got a daughter. Let's teach her to take the mark. And let's not have no more kids. And all of a sudden the lights came on and everybody said, surprise! And they had another one. And they said, we got to really work hard to get him to take the mark. And mom said, I'll help him. Somewhere in there. I know some of you think, you talk about this all the time. It means something to me. It means something to me. Why don't you find, if you find something else to talk about your wife and your parents, why don't you try talking about yours in a positive way instead of running them down all the time? I'm glad. Listen, we don't have perfect nothing, but I wouldn't want nothing nowhere else. I'm telling you what, I see some of these titty boppers out here now. And I thank God, you know, I say to myself, I told my wife just not long ago, I'm glad I ain't looking for no wife right now. Good Lord Almighty. I mean, I feel for you. I'm trying not trying to make it dreary for y'all single men and single ladies. But I'm going to tell you what, the good fish ain't biting like they used to. And it ain't easy to find the ponds where the good fish are. I mean, it's bad enough they won't bite. I'm just trying to find out if they exist. She ain't never stood up in church. Maybe she's looking for that hole in the ear. I ain't talking about earrings and stuff. I'm talking about the mark of the Master. I'm talking about a guy that loves God. And he loves God's word. And he has boundaries for his purity. And he has convictions. And he sings the songs of Zion. And he's not a phony. And he's not a hypocrite. And he treats his mama right. And he loves the word of God. And he has a prayer life. And he's not cheap. And he grooms himself right. And he looks like he's a Christian. I mean, that boy got a hole in his ear. And I'm talking about some ladies got one in theirs. They dress modestly and decently. Oh, what's it about modesty? It's in the Bible. And they carry themselves in a way that loves God. And their Facebook pages look like they're Christians. And their blogs look like they love Jesus. And their Instagram posts look like they look in church. And they've got something about them that says, I may not be popular. I may not be promoted. I may not fit in society. But my Master's been good to me. He's taken care of me. He's looked out for me. And I'd rather put a hole in my ear for my Master than serve that old lion cheat. Devil, you hang in there long enough, God will run you head on into somebody else with a hole in his ear and a hole in yours, and you'll serve him together forever. It's the moment you've been waiting for. I'm getting ready to close the service. It's the moment you've been waiting for. And watch this now. This is how some people view church. Can't wait till we get out of here so we can be free. Get me back to my radio, my iTunes, my Spotify. Ooh. New word. It's probably old by now, but I got it. I don't have it, but I know what it is. Somewhat. Get me out of church. Get me out of this outfit. Let me put on what I want to put on. Let me go where I want to. Give me my weekend. Let me go where I want. Get me out of this Christian home and let me get grown. And let me go where I want to go on the weekends. And stop going where my parents want. You want your freedom? Have it. See if they can give you what your master does for you. It's not even close. And please don't think that because they're your parents, they get to be free either. Isn't the kids, you get to do whatever you want to do. Yeah, like pay for your school and put gas in this car and keep your phone on that you won't turn off at the right time. Yeah, we get to be free. Like you get to order and we get to pay. That's freedom. How many adults would love to just get up and just go to school again? Yeah, like just do homework and projects. And that's it. Not have to pay bills and just walk into the school and the lights are on. Just sit down at the lunch table and the food is there. Yeah, y'all stand up now like the rest of them did. Yeah! You remember the day you didn't pay no rent? Didn't have no mortgage? You didn't fill up the car with gas. And now you're free. You get to pay for it all. Oh, to be grown. Hey, y'all pay attention over here. Hey, I'm talking to y'all. I'm talking about y'all. Look over here at me. I'm talking about y'all. We want you to know how fun it's going to be grown. Pray God come back while you ain't grown. Amen. I want a new phone. You ain't paying for the flip one. Nobody, none of my friends have a flip phone. You can't pay for no phone. That's right. You won't be grown.
Can't wait to be married. I'm
be married. Okay. Go ahead, be married. Get your own place. And you don't even know how to use a plunger. Dad, the toilet, boy, buy a plunger. Get out of here and go to college, all right? Get a job at college. I got one. Well, it ain't for you. It's going to go to the school bill. I mean, you mean I got to pay for my, yeah, you getting to college. Oh, man, it was better when I didn't have a job. I mean, having a job you got to give your money away to is worse than not having one. Oh, to be grown. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody free. Nobody. But I tell you one thing I am. I'm fulfilled. Boy, I tell you what. My master take good care of me. Every once in a while, I know I said I was going to be short. I've officially finished the sermon. This is just ad lib. Nobody else in here is like me about this, but I'll just say like me. Does the devil ever whisper in your ear how much more stuff you could do for yourself if you weren't a Christian? Go ahead down that carnal road that leads to a dead end of, we could sure do a lot more around this house if we didn't tithe every week. Huh, you ever come across your mind? Well, we have a whole lot more time as a family. Hey, honey, we could do a whole lot more, you and me, just alone with ourselves. And we'd have to go to church 3 times a week. You realize how much we could grow together? Go ahead. Y'all be back at church in 2 weeks talking about, Lord, we don't like being with each other that much. We need some Jesus. I need just a little more Jesus. He's a liar. We could sure get a whole lot more done with our dreams if we didn't do so much for the work of God. Hey, listen, don't talk like that. Instead, talk like this. Boy, I'd sure be without a whole lot of stuff if it weren't for my master. Boy, I think about all the times I've been up and down that road at 2 a.m, everybody in the car asleep, and my master made sure I stayed awake, fighting them eyes after preaching a long time. I think about all those planes I got on, and not near one of them I was on crashed and killed me. I think about all the people I met. One of them I'm going to get to see tonight, tomorrow morning while we're going through Wilson. One of these young men is like a son to me, Jimmy. I got to meet him preaching at a school years ago, only to find out his daddy's in jail and he needed somebody to love him. I could have never found out on eHarmony.com, but my master knows how to hook things up. I would never want to imagine what it would be like without my master. Stop looking out the window. It's worth it. And I hope there are some believers in the building who will make the choice here and now. I will not go out free. Father, thank you. My. Free or faithful? The deal's on the table. Take it or leave it. Pastor, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. I know I'm saved. God bless you. Put your hand down. Pastor, God has spoken to me about choosing to be faithful over choosing to be free. God convicted my heart today. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you all over the building. My soul, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Here, would you do something about it? Why don't you come to the altar this morning and mind the Lord? Come on, come on, come on. Mind the Lord. Mind the Lord. You put your hand up. God spoke to you. Now put some feet to your conviction and mind the Lord. Mind the Lord. Sometimes you got to make some commitments. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'll not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just long enough for me to see it. We love you here. We want to help you. Maybe God is burdening you about scriptural baptism or being a member of a good local New Testament church. In just a few moments, through an invitation, if God has spoken to you about that, I hope you'll come. Let one of our deacons or their wives talk to you about that. It's a choice. Some decisions you're going to have to forfeit in order to be faithful. What's worth it? The master is going to compensate you for faithfulness, much more than the devil will for freedom. Let's stand together. Father, would you bless this invitation? Do a work like only you can in Jesus' name.